Capital 263.
Hello everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Dion and this is Technology, a podcast about tech, nerdy stuff and more nerdy stuff. Brought to you, of course, by Capital 263, the best and only podcast network.
Joined by...
Joined, I'm supposed to be dramatic. Joined by Gary Tindaya Manuel, the co-host. No, wait, I'm not the co-host. I am the host.
This is the second episode that you say you're the co-host. So I think it's established that you're the co-host now.
I think I've heard somebody say the host with the most. That's a work line. Anyways, this is Gary Tindaya Manuel. Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
The premium tech podcast on Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. And yes... we're back yet again for another episode. It's another week. And to be honest, there's like one major, big story. And there's just like a bunch of smaller stories.
Yeah. Anyways, Dion, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. Not really, because the new Marvel movie thingy came out. The trailer for that. What's it called? That
Infinity War.
There we go. That one.
I liked it. I liked it. I mean, I've always known that this movie was going to come.
I hate myself for liking it too much.
Well, yeah, he's a DC guy.
Yeah.
He likes it. Anyways, and they actually showed the new movies, that the other 20 movies that they're going to be making after this.
Oh, yes. Like 20 Warlock. Movies, people.
Exactly. And unlike DC Comics, Marvel actually has a plan.
It's not Marvel that have the plan. Who owns the Marvel? Who makes the movies? What's it? Is it Warner Brothers or something? No, it's not Warner Brothers. It's you should know this. Who makes the movies?
For Marvel.
Yeah.
It's Disney, but Marvel makes
yes,
the plans.
Yes, Disney.
No, Disney.
Yes, Disney, Disney are the one with the order. In the same way, it was Disney who is saving everyone from EA's Battlefront controversy.
Disney
right now.
Disney owns the cash.
Yes.
But then Marvel Studios. Is the one that's in charge of this. Kevin Feige is the one that's in control of this.
I don't know what world we live in that Marvel, out of all the people in the world, are the ones who are pioneering with the movies.
It happened. Marvel is leading. They're leading. They know what they're doing. And after that, they're going to have 20 more movies. And I honestly see somebody dying beats Captain America, Iron Man, or Spider-Man. But one person is going to die.
In Infinity War.
Yeah. Kevin Feige even said that, like, there's going to be death.
I noticed something comparing Infinity War to Justice League with the trailers, just the trailers. Justice League revealed a bit too much.
Yeah.
It was like you could basically see what the movie was, what like all the good parts of the movie was just by watching the trailer.
They already revealed about the Mother Box, the Darkseid, what's his name? The other guy? Stephen Wolf coming to Earth to like,
It was too, but then when you looked at the Infinity War one, it's just basically people's faces going, and then, you know, it's like you should totally watch this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot... other than what in the I was actually interested. Did you know that gaming this week is officially worth about an estimated $120 billion? And the original estimation by 2017 was that gaming is going to be worth $70 billion by 2017, but now it's actually worth $120 billion.
How many of those are due to microtransactions and other dodgy gambling?
Yeah, and that's the weird part. All right, so...
because I don't think we can, like, praise that anymore, because now when you think about it, some of that money is coming
from
disingenuous places.
About 50% of this revenue comes from something that gamers are really going to despise off.
Ooh, 50%?
Mobile gaming.
50%
of this.
So, $60 billion.
Yeah, $60 billion comes from...
just from mobile gaming.
Mobile gaming, yeah. And microtransactions in gaming. Like, look at those games. What's it?
Candy Crush.
Candy Crush.
Clash of Clans. There we go.
All those games.
Bejeweled.
Exactly. People always buying love these that game. Extra energy boosts, outfits.
Lives.
Yeah, exactly. Skins. And yeah, that's a lot of cash. And about 33 billion of it comes from console gaming. So this is Xbox, all the consoles basically put into one place. And 32 billion of this revenue comes from PC gaming alone, which shows that PC gaming is really large and it's really big.
Yeah, I mean, given that it's not really the mainstream choice for gaming.
Exactly.
I mean, no matter what we say about PC gaming, it's much easier to just go and buy a console and then buy a disc.
Play,
and
yeah,
then,
exactly, poof, in your living room.
You're playing compared to a PC, which is a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see how much it has grown. But I think the most shocking part is the fact that 60 billion just for mobile gaming.
Yeah, mobile gaming has grown so much that even more companies are putting ports, actual game ports on mobile.
On mobile, yeah.
Recently, Nintendo decided to do that. And
yeah, because Nintendo games feel like they'd make good mobile games. Like, I could imagine myself playing Mario on a phone. Like,
yeah, but
that
then,
seems more possible.
Okay, what would you expect when you... PUBG is coming to mobile. Mm-hmm. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. And that is... Yeah, they're actually doing it. They're actually making a mobile version of this. I think it's because...
What?
Yeah, and I think it's because the PC version was so successful with 1 million daily users. Like, daily...
It was everywhere.
Yeah, daily players. And they make a lot of cash every day. And they're just going to monopolize on this. Yeah.
By making more cash on mobile.
Yeah.
And I've never been a big mobile gamer. And I don't think a lot of, like, actual game, like, people who call themselves gamers in the traditional sense would be really big in mobile gaming. But... Yeah. It's an industry now. It seems to be there and it's getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah, and this kind of brings us into a topic. Well, last week we were talking about EA and its greed. And so Disney is even involved in this now. And they're now putting more strain on EA and pushing down EA. And we're actually seeing more investors and stock prices for EA games plummeting, not really plummeting, but then they're really going down. For example, EA shares went down by 6%. And this might be a sign of investors pulling out. I mean, so far...
It was actually 3.6%. Activision's...
Yeah, but no, what? It went up. Like, it actually went up from 3.6.
To
6%. Now it's 6%.
Wow.
And...
Shucks, that is crazy.
And yeah, last time I checked, which was last night, EA had lost about 3.1 billion. And it might not seem like it's much, but then considering that they're losing more and more cash every day, this is forcing them to reconsider their game plans.
Because usually if it was like one of those situations where, you know, it's a minor setback and then they just move on from it and they just say, okay, fine, people got into it and there was a lot of media hype, then it's dead. It'll make sense. But this is like an ongoing situation.
And
now
it's actually gaining more momentum.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for EA, this is forcing them to reconsider what they're doing as a studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're shutting down other studios because they're not giving them enough money. Visceral Games got shut down for that. EA was about to shut down another game studio. And EA is so greedy that they're even defending themselves. You know, instead of saying...
How? What are they saying?
They're saying that, I don't know, I forgot the official statement, but EA is basically saying that, hey, these are games and this is a business. At the end of the day, we're supposed to make money from it. But then there's no need to make it so aggressive. I mean, look at CD Projekt Red. They gave us The Witcher. The Witcher was a great game.
Great game.
No silly microtransactions, no skins, no everything. And they even gave free DLC expansions that were good. And on top of that, they gave...
Like with content.
Yeah, and if you bought a season pass, you actually got actual content. Like extra 40 hours worth of content per DLC. Rather than EA, whereby you just get skins, loot boxes, whatever.
Just aesthetic stuff that won't really make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, so this is really putting a strain on EA games. And hopefully we might see a change of strategy in their...
I think a lot of people are hoping that Disney like take away their Star Wars license altogether. Like, that's what people really want at this point. They don't want EA making Star Wars games anymore.
Yeah, I honestly hope that EA loses loses this license. I preferred the Star Wars games when LucasArts still had
LucasArts, that's
like,
right.
Like, look at the older Battlefront games. They were so perfect. You know, when I think about them, I get so nostalgic because they were great. But then this is a very...
And, like, look, if you look at, like, from what we've been hearing, it's not only about the loot boxes that's a problem. You know, even just general gameplay has been poor.
Yeah, it's
lagging
been
has been a really big issue.
Lack of content. The story was... Their major selling point was we finally put a story in this game, but then... When you play the game, people are just like, the campaign is okay.
It's okay.
And the campaign is only 3 hours.
Wow.
It's only like 4 to 6 hours.
Well, I mean, have you played any Battlefield game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd know about short campaigns when it comes to
No, but
that.
Battlefield, it's understandable. I mean, look at Battlefield, Call of Duty. I'm actually preferring Battlefield. Battlefield 1 is a better game overall.
You know, yeah, they're great games, especially for multiplayer. But I'm saying, like, EA generally, whenever they make a game that they know that we are focusing on multiplayer, they don't even care about, like, the campaign.
Story, yeah.
It's usually a very short... It's like almost like a tutorial. You know those tutorials that teach you how to, like, shoot and stuff?
Yeah.
That's basically what the campaign feels like.
Yeah, and that's basically EA for you. And in other news, we also saw this week that... The Nintendo Switch actually saved Nintendo. Nintendo, like, a few years back, they were running at a loss after releasing the previous handheld
Wii
console.
U.
The Wii U, and they were running at a loss. Like, they were actually losing cash every day.
Because poor console.
Each and every day, they kept the company open. They're losing money because the Wii U wasn't selling. But now, they have
can we just talk about how ridiculous the Wii U actually was?
Yeah, it was really...
look at the name. Let's not go too far. Like, you know, when you get out a console, when you know that, okay, fine. People who buy Xboxes and people who buy PlayStations know a general idea about video games. But think of all the people who bought Nintendo Wiis who didn't even have an idea about video games. They just saw this cool thing that plays and it's exercise-like, so maybe I'll buy it. Like your grandmom or your aunt. Those are the kind of people who are buying Wiis. And then you introduce something called a Wii U.
Whoa.
People will just be like, is this like some sort of peripheral for the Wii or something?
No, the thing with the Wii U was, I feel like the Wii U was a version of the Switch whereby they didn't know what they're doing, you know? Because if you look at it, the Switch kind of has a lot of similarities to its predecessor.
Yes, it does.
But then it's just more plainly executed. They knew the market they were going for. They're not going for AAA. The Wii U... They mainly focused on the AAA market, and at the end of the day,
with a brand of a casual gaming device platform,
exactly,
which is just
day,
not
it
going
undersold.
To work.
It undersold both in performance, looks, and everything. Yeah, and now the Switch is making so much money that it gave Nintendo an extra $11 billion.
Wow, $11 billion.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. The festive season is not even yet here. Well,
that's actually pretty. I didn't expect it to be that high. I mean, we're just talking about the size of the actual industry, and if consoles were 33 billion, and the Nintendo Switch was selling, got them $11 billion, then that's really a large amount of money.
Yeah, the Nintendo Switch is actually out like selling faster than the PS4 and the Xbox One X and all and everything. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Look, when I first heard of the Switch, I was quite excited as well. Like, it's a great console when you think about it. A great idea. And even if they don't need, like, AAA titles, they don't need a Forza
They are getting AAA titles, like Doom and everything. But then, yeah, the Switch is kind of an indie platform.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I could imagine most people would be developing it for, like, indie titles and stuff. Next Journey and those other kind of games.
Yeah. And speaking of platforms, here, back home in Zimbabwe, guess who is finally, well, at least they're starting to talk about their old news again. ZBC released a statement this week that they're finally digitalizing.
Wow. After
decades, actually?
Decades.
Because this first came around when we're in grade... grade 6, 7 there.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to digitalize NBC, you know, bring it up to par. And, you know, what's sad is that at this point, ZBC isn't even fully HD yet. I'm talking 1080p, not what, 1420, not 4K, not 6K.
8K.
Full HD.
Just to get HD.
Okay, HD.
Yeah, it's really sad. And, you know, the deadline for digitalization, the international deadline that they made was June 2016.
Wow.
We've missed that by a year. We might miss it by 2 years now.
It's not like we're actually in the process of digitalizing now. No. It's like we're now actually waking up, taking a shower, getting ready to go to work.
To get it done.
Exactly. So, I don't know. You know, what's really sad? Uh-huh. Some companies some streaming services are actually now compatible. Now putting compatibility with high dynamic range and other things like that. HDR, you know HDR?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, like it actually enhances
the picture quality.
Exactly, and makes it super like bit and makes the colors pop and everything. But we don't even have HD to begin with. This is really sad. I mean, ZBC doesn't even have online streaming.
Yeah, it only has
they
Facebook
news
Live.
On Facebook.
Yes,
they the stream news.
That's it.
Gundum, 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 gundum.
Yeah, basically, and we're also hearing that the radio stations have officially been officially on the internet now.
Yeah,
they have joined us.
Well, that's more competition for us. But yeah, radio channels. Dun, dun, dun.
Are we worried that like ZBC might take some of the listeners?
Wow. Anyways,
you never know.
Yeah. I mean, people in Zimbabweans are creatures of comfort. They're more gonna likely go float towards something they're more comfortable with or familiar with.
Than anyway, with anything that's new. Yeah,
exactly. That's the reason why we still have 720p in 2017, and we don't even have HD.
Are you sure it's 720p? Isn't it 480?
it's not 480, bro. Some selected programs.
It could be 480 because it's not HD. It's not HD at all.
I know the news is sort of in HD. I don't know which HD it is, though. But I think the news is in 720.
The news?
Yes.
Probably.
Like, they do have 720 on some programs, but... Or even
but
if
but can you have 720 with a 4:3 ratio?
I don't know.
Because it's 4:3.
Well, if it's 4:3, yay.
Then it has to be.
But news is in 720.
I think it's 600. 600p. 800x600.
All right, just not some resolution down there.
Yeah, it's between HD and... No, it's between half HD and no HD.
And so at the same time, we're actually saying more and more channels get
4K. Yeah, I've 4K. Been hearing about...
I mean, Quest has been here for a few months and they already have HD on all channels. Like, all channels. They even have... And you know what? What's weird about Quest is that they actually stream ZBC in HD, but ZBC isn't in HD.
I don't know how that would work, but yeah, thumbs up to you, Quest.
ZBC is such a tragedy.
A lot of work is needed in that front, I guess, on trying to get that up to scratch.
Like, yeah.
They really need to put a lot of work in there because, yeah.
And lately, we've also been seeing Zimbabwe, you know, putting work in its cybersecurity, the ministry, what? I don't know, the ministry of ICT, something like that.
Yeah, ICT and cybersecurity.
Yeah, so they're calling, I don't know, has the minister been officially elected yet?
Yes, he has. I'm not sure who it is. I'm sure everyone has heard about the new cabinet and everything. But then there was another shuffling that happened recently. So I'm not sure if it's the same person or if it's changed. But yeah, we do know for a fact that Super hasn't changed. I think, remember we spoke about Super?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still around.
Zimbabwe really needs a lot of cybersecurity. I mean, we're still in an day and age whereby mm-hmm. our cybersecurity is really bust. It's really terrible. I mean... The ZANU-PF website got hacked once and the people put porn there. And people put porn there recently. Like, that's how sad it is. You know, we have no security whatsoever. And there is still
It's actually quite shocking what happened then. I was actually quite shocked.
They were using WordPress. What? Something archaic. Really archaic.
Yes, it was WordPress. And WordPress on, you know, a party web. You know, it's stuff like that that just makes me question, like, where are we going in regards with, you know, computing, technology, software, you know, that kind of thing in the country. Because, you know, a lot needs to be done and nobody's really talking about it.
But lately, though, we have been seeing more and more people and more institutions starting to focus on technology and make strides, you know, to improve technology. Even Kwese, I feel like Kwese is the one that's pioneering with this, because they saw an opportunity, like a place where nothing was being done. For example, like television.
The fact that there was no competition for DSTV.
Yeah, exactly. And they chose to push the boundary. I just remember when this whole Kwese thing began, I just remember people were like, Kwese is never going to match up to DSTV. It's never going to
offer. Yeah, I was one of those people.
Yeah, and now look what's happening.
We'll have
people
to
are actually moving from DSTV.
I want Kwese to be successful, but then I'm skeptical.
Well, I've actually used Kwese. So we recently got Kwese at home. Right now, in the state that it is, I wouldn't say it's better than DSTV. But then for the price and what you're getting, I think, yeah, for the price and what you're getting, it's better than DSTV. Mm-hmm. And they're still adding more and more channels because this is, wow, this is a really new network. And some networks, and you can actually see on the menus that some networks are actually to be added, like their blank spaces and stuff. But so far from what Quest is offering, yeah, it's really good. You'd be surprised, like it's really good. I was skeptical about it at first, but then one problem I have about it, it's kind of an unfinished product, you know. But then DSTV was like that in the beginning.
That's right, they were. They were very much like that. But they've gotten better.
Yeah, they've gotten better. Like on the menus, some channels are missing, like some movie information or program information is missing. And it will be blank. But then besides that, I think it's really a good
DSTV still has that problem, especially with their new pop-up channel, The Bucket List.
Yeah.
Which it basically now just says movie 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly. And, you know,
super frustrating.
For what it's giving you, it's really great.
Yeah. I think we should just go on to the last thing we want to talk about today. Which we've talked about this before, but I think now it's another opportunity to talk about it because it's
really
becoming
serious.
Another big problem, and that's about net neutrality.
So the war on net
neutrality
on net neutrality has really been getting intense, especially in America. And
what is net neutrality?
Net neutrality is basically a law that says all data and traffic on the internet is to be treated the same.
No
preferences.
Fast lanes.
No fast lanes,
slow lanes
or no throttling of data to certain domains. And this could basically mean if there was no net neutrality, Zoho or Econet or any other internet service provider could just basically tell you that, hey, to watch videos, on YouTube without it buffering, you have to pay an extra $50. Mm. Or you want fast Facebook connections, you have to pay an extra $20.
That's right.
And basically, this could spell doom for us because net neutrality has been saving us from getting exploited from internet service providers. And recently, the war on net neutrality has intensified to the extent that, you know, maybe next year we won't even have net neutrality.
But the situation with net neutrality in Zimbabwe is very, very different. Because we don't have net neutrality. Because net neutrality means no WhatsApp bundles, no Instagram bundles, because that's essentially against net neutrality.
Yeah.
By giving data only to go to a specific website, that is, if we had net neutrality in Zimbabwe, that would be illegal. And they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, I feel like as much as we don't have net neutrality, our internet service providers like Zo are actually influenced by net neutrality.
They are.
Because they don't do such things. You know, on the mobile side, we have net neutrality. I mean, Zimbabwe is a broke country. We have to find a way of monetizing data and monitoring it and sharing it equally amongst people. Because imagine if, let's say, there's no way that Econet or Tel 1 is going to afford to be buying large amounts of data and selling it to people at that rate.
No, it's impossible. And so, like, net neutrality, the lack of net neutrality in Zimbabwe actually helps us, weirdly enough.
Exactly. And yeah, because our economy is not powerful enough to have full net neutrality. And so if America loses net neutrality, this could potentially mean that in the long run, it could influence our internet service providers. Thus, we're going to have to see, we're probably going to see Zo, Tel 1, Liquid Telecom offering preferential treatment towards certain websites. And this can also be used to exploit people. For example,
like basically bundles, but like on actual like Wi-Fi.
Exactly. Like certain corporations could benefit from this more than they actually are benefiting. They could say, all right, like let's say Facebook was a homegrown company for Zimbabwe and it needed more people, they'd be like, we'll offer you a deal to Econet, blah, blah, blah. Thus, Facebook would become faster and more people would probably join it. And this is the case outside there. No, it doesn't really necessarily apply to us because, we are broke.
But then, like, we still use American internet and we still use American websites. So then I think the problem always would come back to us in one way or the other. Like, I mean, look, like you said, if net neutrality doesn't exist, and what would happen is that, like, here in Zimbabwe, if I wanted to start an internet service, like maybe a social networking site, then I would need to have to talk to Zol, to Liquid, to all the other internet service providers to ensure that people who are having those service providers get my website at a fair speed. And if I don't, they won't be able to get my website.
All right, so internet service providers in America signed this other agreement in 2011 or 2012. I'm not sure which the exact year is. So what this law basically stipulated was an agreement that all service providers are gonna abide by this law of net neutrality. And that's until next year, right? Yeah, exactly. And there's a loophole in this law. There's a loophole.
What's the loophole?
I forgot the exact words in it. Like, it's one of those loopholes that has specific words whereby a word means one thing, could mean one or two things.
Then you just take advantage of the definition.
Exactly. So if, let's say, internet providers in America want to take advantage of this clause, they can. And thus, net neutrality is gone. Net neutrality, one of the main aspects is they're not supposed to charge higher prices or higher data prices to visit certain websites.
Yes.
But then what the loophole is, it still allows them to charge the minimum price.
Oh, for all of them?
Yeah, they can still technically charge the minimum data price to view a certain website. This means while you're not allowed, let's say the highest, to charge higher prices, you can say, let's say, but right now it's 60 megabytes to visit a certain website, blah, blah, blah. What you can do is you can say the minimum is now 80. You see?
So then it's like the minimum is higher than it should be.
Exactly. And this is a loophole because they are still technically abiding by it. They're just using different words for it. Mm. And that's the thing about laws and agreements is that the words that you use are loopholes, can create loopholes for you the people under you. And honestly speaking, I really hope that net neutrality remains in place because it's something that's benefiting the world as a whole. I mean, right, obviously, some countries that do not have net neutrality, their service providers are still abiding to net neutrality to some extent. And that's serving people.
Or at least let's say that they're not being greedy about it.
Exactly. And, you know,
like it's a win-win for the market, even though they're not following the
because students, especially students in Zimbabwe with the expenses in schools, textbooks and everything, lack of proper learning materials, people have benefited greatly from the internet, especially me. I can account for that. Like, I use the internet for my studies a lot and for research a lot. For this show, we actually use the internet a lot.
A ton. Couldn't imagine.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, being told that you can't visit this website or like upgrade your service to visit this website or be able to visit this website at a faster rate is really, I don't know, it's really detrimental to us.
Yeah, and like, I was on Reddit the other time and like the homepage was just full of just lobbying. People just saying like, oh, this is my senator and he like basically paid to just be against net neutrality. Like he was paid off by service providers like Comcast to just be against net neutrality. And we're seeing a lot of that happening. And I mean, well, there's nothing that we can do about it, sadly. Like there really is. I don't think as Zimbabweans we can... It's really an American story right now. Like, it's American politics, but it really affects us.
That's the thing. It does. All right. Basically, imagine this. This is an atomic bomb or a super volcano.
That's right. Because the internet is just as important as atomic bombs and volcanoes.
Really? No, I know. Like, no, really. This metaphor
I'm being sarcastic,
is like a super volcano. Right. There's a super volcano in Yellowstone Park. If that thing explodes... it affects the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, life on Earth could end. Now it's been extreme, but then...
The thing is... Is it really that big? Like, will
no,
the
like,
whole...
the effects will affect the atmosphere. Gases released into the air.
Oh,
like
atmosphere.
The air will be unbreathable.
I thought you were talking about the economy and stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know,
no,
there'll be an explosion in America and then the American economy will collapse and then the whole world will follow with it. Then we'll all die in a...
But this is what's happening. Is that since... the countries that provide data, America and mainly most Asian countries, these are the guys that provide data services to Africa.
Yeah.
If they get rid of internet neutrality, this could potentially spell doom for us. And we are still in a phase whereby we haven't consolidated all this technological gain we have made with the internet and everything. We're still relying on other companies for what we have, like foreign-based companies and foreign providers. We do not
many
have
of the servers that connect here in Zimbabwe are in South Africa,
exactly,
which are connected to other servers in America and the rest of the world.
We don't have our own stuff. So if this collapse happens, it's really going to affect us. This thing is going to cause a butterfly effect. And this thing, it's not going to be, it's obviously the effects are going to be settled. I might be exaggerating this. Yes, this is a conspiracy theory. This is what I see happening.
Okay, we're starting.
Yes, it's going to affect our economy. No, but really serious. It could affect our economy and all those other things. What? Think about all those internet-based businesses.
But in Zimbabwe,
data charges are going to, data charges are going to be expensive. We are internet-based.
That's right, we are.
Exactly. All those streaming services, all those social networks. But then, those things are going to be affected by this. And hopefully we see as the resistance that people are putting up against
It's been very, very, a very big effort. Like, you could see it everywhere in the States right now. I mean, at least if you're on Reddit, you can see it everywhere. And I don't know, like I said, not much we can do about it. I hope things go well, but that's literally where we end. We can just hope for the best and just pray that things go the right way. But like, there's nothing much that we can do about it.
Yeah, I don't know. If we could sign a petition, we would. I mean,
we could do that.
But what's...
I mean, people in the States are actually writing to their senators
petitions
and everything. Yeah. No, like they're writing personal emails and letters to their senators and congresswomen and men saying that, look, you need to fight against net neutrality. But it doesn't seem like they're doing much about it.
Yeah, there isn't much happening on this. But pray to God that this issue is resolved, because our lives and our livelihoods
are at stake. For all of us.
This could spell doom for you. Your internet relationship, everything around you.
Your Facebook, your WhatsApp.
Your nudes.
They're all under attack.
They're all under attack. Your social life, exactly. But really speaking though, like, I honestly hope that we will see a change when it comes to this topic, because this is really scary for us, especially as students.
That's right. It's really dangerous. So, yeah. We'll keep following it, I guess, and seeing how things go. There's a vote happening not next week, 2 weeks from now, on the 14th of December, that will decide whether or not net neutrality will still be in the States.
Namatai.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that goes. And with that, I must ask, Gary, where can they find you?
At home. You can find
definitely
me.
At home, yeah.
You can find me on Instagram. My name is Hugo the Slum God. Or you can find me on Twitter at Gary Tindai or Slum Gary Tindai. At Gary Tindai. Or you can go to a podcast page on Instagram, Tech Knowledge Podcast. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Tech Knowledge FM, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
We're also on Twitter at Tech Knowledge FM.
FM, exactly.
Yes. And you can also find me on Twitter at I am Dion Spring. I am Dion Spring. D-I-O-N. Spring.
And guys, not be afraid to give us your feedback. You can go and listen to the podcast on iTunes, iono.fm, or you can go to our Twitters or Facebooks. We post links there weekly. Or you can go to my link in bio and click.
That's right. So bye. Bye-bye, people.
You done now. And now. Capital 263.